Bibles today, the book of Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. This morning, I want to preach a message entitled Grappling Over the Issues of Life. I believe that you and I need to ponder, need to grapple, need to think, need to consider what God has done and just literally grapple, ponder over the issues of life. Now, look with me, please, at Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, notice how this verse or psalm begins. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. But you know Valentine's Day. Many people say, I love you with a rose. Many say, I love you with Russell Stover. But God says, I love you with a refuge. With a refuge. Verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, and they are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Now notice verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we approach the throne of grace this morning and we're glad, thankful that we have before us an open Bible and we have the precious truth of the Word of God today to be our solace, our comfort, our stability, and our encouragement. This morning, Heavenly Father, I pray for every name called earlier. You know the needs this morning that are representative in so many lives. Father, thank you for the music today that's warmed our hearts and been Christ exalting and reminded us to look at the skies expecting our Lord to soon appear. Lord, now bless this message. Help us to ponder, to grapple, to consider what life is. And Lord, to live in light of what life really is. Now, Lord, bless today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would begin this morning by mentioning that this psalm, Psalm 90, is the oldest psalm recorded in the Word of God. This psalm was written by Moses 400 years before the other psalms. One Bible scholar said this about Psalm 90. He said this is the most sublime of human compositions, the deepest in feeling, the loftiest in theological conception, and the most magnificent in imagery. Moses had lived to see the power of God. Moses had seen the glory of God. Moses had witnessed God's wrath and God's mercy. Moses ponders God in his lofty position. You notice in verse 1, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. He ponders God in his lofty position, and he carries us in thought to the third heaven as we look at verse number 1. He ponders God in eternity past, verse number 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I dare say this morning that most human beings live simply day by day without giving much thought to the subject of life in the spiritual realm. That is so tragic. Some have attempted to consider life only from the standpoint of physical aspect, but I believe this morning that life needs to be pondered from the aspect of the spiritual. Living to most is merely a physical existence. We're living in a time where there's an information explosion, but also at the same time there's an explosion of ignorance. It should not be that way. Many today are content to live in a low information zone. You know, it's bad to be ignorant, but it's worse still to be content in ignorance. And that's the case. Most people are driven by appetite only. What gives thrill? What makes happy? What motivates the nervous system? They're motivated by appetite. Many people remind me of deer coming to a corn pile, unaware of the risk. And that's how it is. Moses grapples over life. He grapples over the fact of life's brevity. He grapples over the fact of life's accountability. And he grapples over the fact of life's shelter and security in this precious song. The fact of life's brevity. Verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. You know, Methuselah, the oldest man recorded in the Bible in terms of longevity of life, he lived to be 969 years of age. He almost made it to 1,000. When we think of Methuselah, who lived to be nearly 1,000 years of age, but in the sight of God, he lived no more than a day. I'm thinking of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. We'd say Methuselah was an old guy, wouldn't we? But God, in the sight of God, he wasn't any older than a day. Think about life this morning. Moses ponders the temporal, frail existence of a human lifespan. He illustrates that lifespan as a blade of grass that grows up in the morning and is cut down in the evening. Verses 5 and 6. He certainly had witnessed in his lifespan the frailty of life. Moses had lived to see over 1,000,000 people die whose carcasses fell out there in the wilderness. We need to ponder life this morning. You know, here's what we need to keep in mind. We're only tenants. That's what we are. We're tenants. These earthly bodies are always needing repair. Also, our houses. You see, our bodies are like our physical houses. They constantly are needing to be repaired. We're only tenants. People go through life living just for this life, never thinking beyond, only satisfied in a day-by-day pleasure. But my friend, we're all this morning camped on the brink of eternity. Only when life it soon will pass, but only what's done with Christ will last. We're tenants. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. If we live to be 80, we can thank God for His faithfulness. If we make it to 80, we can thank God for His faithfulness. If we hit the 100-year mark, we can thank God for His faithfulness. But my friend, when you compare time to eternity, there is no comparison. Years ago, I went back to an old home place I'd lived in West Virginia, up around in Wirt County. Near Parkersburg. Y'all probably sung up around Parkersburg. Elizabeth was where I lived. And we walked up a hollow. My sister and her husband, brother-in-law, Carol and I just went back to kind of go down memory lane to sort of look at some of those old houses where I used to live as a child. We walked up this long hollow, a two-story house we'd lived in when I was a kid. House was torn down practically. No windows in the house. Everything a mess. I looked at the house and saw something strange as I looked at one of the windows that had been broken out. There was a Guernsey cow inside that room looking out that window at me. Times have changed, my friend. When I was a kid, we used to look out that window at cattle. But now they're looking out at us. I say that this morning is somewhat humorous, I know. But you see these old houses of clay, these bodies that we're wearing are going down. But thank God we have a house in glory. That's not a dwelling of clay. And as we heard the music this morning resounding to the glory of that precious truth, Christ is coming back. We'll get rid of this mess. We need to live in light of eternity, grappling over the issues of life. James grappled over the issues of life when he asked the question, and then he gives the answer. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. It's just like a vapor. Now ponder this, think about this. Life is more than things. Real life, that is. Life is more than things. Luke 12:15, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Life's more than things. Life's more than thrills. Multitudes thrive on the adrenaline rush. They thrive on fantasy or drug experiences. But as that is always the case, life that is lived simply for thrills winds up being a downer, just like drug overdoses or the morning after. Life is not about things. Life is not about thrills. Life is not about theories. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? For God hath made foolish the wisdom of this world. James 1:20. Life is not things. Life is not thrills. Life is not theories. Life is a fragment of time. It's a moment between two eternities. See, we're wise this morning. I speak of pondering, grappling with the issues of life. We're wise if we mark our calendars with a pencil. With a pencil. Now ponder the fact that every day witnesses people dying, young and old, who had marked their calendars, who never lived to see the fulfillment of the event. People go through life. I heard an advertisement the other day on television, ladies in her 60s. Her comment, I forget what product they're advertising, but her comment in the advertisement. Well, I've got a long life ahead of me. And every time I hear her say that, I think, do you really? Do you know that for sure? How can you say that with certainty? The average person, when it comes to death statistics, look at the newspaper, look at the obituary columns. Tell me this morning, is every obituary note in that obituary the death of someone 60 or older? Absolutely not. You have people that die every single day. Age is not even taken into account. It's a fact that life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. No one knows when they get up in the morning and take their shower and begin to face the day they'll ever come home. We need to grapple on the issues of life. Moses grappled over the brevity of life. Moses grappled also over the accountability of life. So teach us to number our days, that we may give our hearts unto wisdom. Number our days. Take an account of life. Estimate life rightly and estimate life wisely. We are responsible for our actions. He says in the same psalm, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Think about that verse. The word tale, T-A-L-E there, conveys the idea of thought. The idea of thought. Life is passing at the rapidity of a passing thought. It's passing with such rapidness, like a passing thought. It needs to be mentioned this morning that our lives are leaving an impression every day, whether good or bad. The verse says we spend our years as a tale that is told, like a passing thought. I was reading one commentary, though, and here's what he said about that verse. He said, life is compared to a tale or to a story. To a tale or to a story. In other words, what kind of a life, what kind of a tale is our life conveying? What kind of a story is our life conveying? Consider the impression of a story. We have different types of stories. You have fiction. You have nonfiction. It may be a mystery. It may be a tragedy. Think about the impression of a story. I remember when I was a kid, that same house that I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, where we went up and visited in shambles. I remember as a kid, we just got our first television. Well, no, maybe a year or two before that. Black and white. I stated this in my little testimonial out there. Black and white television. We could only get one channel, Channel 3 Huntington, and it was snowy. I thought we were picking up a station in Alaska. There's so much snow on it. But I remember my dad and I, we'd watch that old movie called Shock Watch. I believe it was called Shock Watch. Couldn't half see it because it was so distorted. We had to, you know, run the antenna, had it on top of the mountain, had the two wires like they used to run up to the mountain. And then we had to turn that antenna constantly where the wind would blow it around. We had eight kids in our family. We'd station them in the intervals. Intervals up the hillside. One would say at the bottom, turn it right, turn it right, turn it right. Echo up around the mountain range. Turn it left, turn it left, turn it left. Right, echoing. And anyway, what happened? I'm watching that movie. And we'd set up till midnight, my dad and I, watching Shock Watch. And I'd go to bed, go up that two-story, live in a two-story house, and go up to that second story and go to bed and not sleep a wink. I'd be so scared. I'd be so scared. But stories affect the way we live. Our life is like a tale that is told. I trust this morning that our lives are not in the category of a fiction, but a nonfiction. I trust this morning that our lives are not a mystery. I trust this morning that our lives are truthful and convey something helpful and convey something consoling. I trust that our lives this morning, as we read a book, sometimes we're blessed and comforted and encouraged. I trust that our lives is a tale that is told, is giving forth that kind of a message. We spend our years as a tale that is told. We need to grapple over the issues of life. When I think of life, I think of the Savior. I think of a passage. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Thank God for abundant life. Life does not have to be wasted. Life does not have to be a mystery. Life does not have to be scary. Those that are saved have abundant life. We have eternal life. We have the peace of God in our life. We have joy in our life. Life is more than just years. It's more than just a bunch of years. Life is more than just about us. There's no such thing as a self-made life. And there's no such thing as a self-lived life. No person lives independent of others. We render influence. We affect. We have an effect upon other people's lives. There's no such thing as a self-lived life. Life is more than about length. It's about breadth. It may be short, but we can broaden it. It's what we put into it. But you see, we today that know the Lord know what really counts in life. It's not ourselves anyway. It's Christ that liveth in us. It's Him. It's His joy. It's His power. It's His peace. That gives real meaning to life. Spurgeon said, let us put plenty of life into our existence. Let us put plenty of work into our life. Let us put plenty of heart into our work. And let us put plenty of warmth into our heart. Life is more than a pleasure trip also. It's more than simply a gusto. It's more than simply having a good time and living it up. It's far more than that. Grappling over the issues of life. Life is more than simply earthly existence. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I ask you a question this morning. Where will your passing take you? Where will you go? Life is more than physical existence. It's more than simply self. It's more than physical image. The Bible tells us, book of Genesis, when God made man, he created man in his image, in his likeness. In God's image, life is more than physical existence. We have been created in the image of God. There is that spiritual aspect. There is that God consciousness. You find no animals worshiping. You find no animals or dogs worshiping, but human beings, you cannot go anywhere on the face of this earth, but what you don't find that people are incredibly religious. There's a difference between religion and righteousness. You can go to the darkest jungles of Africa. You'll find an altar or a shrine with the effort on man's part to worship a god. As a general rule, it's a god who is not the god. But it shows the incurable religious nature of man. We've been made in the image of God. There is that reality. There is that sense of dissatisfaction. Simply with self. Simply with this world. There is something missing. Something lacking. But thank God when we got to Calvary, we found the answer. Life is shorter than we think. It's like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanisheth away. It's more precious than we realize. I was thinking about the verse that says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And then I compared that to the thought of life. If death in the sight of the Lord is precious in the case of His saints, then I'd like to say this morning that life in the sight of God is precious to God as well. If death is precious, then our life is precious. We've got to understand this morning, in spite of the evolutionary humanistic thinking of our land, that God has invested in human beings a uniqueness not found in animal kingdom. Now, Moses looked at life and he grappled over the issues of life. And then finally this morning, here's what I notice. Moses grappled with the fact of life's shelter and security. Let me give that truth to you from the passage. He grappled with the fact of life's shelter and security. Here's what I will say. In spite of life's frailty and brevity, thank God there's still shelter in a place of security. He makes that clear. Here it is. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 4. Then I look at Psalm 90. He said, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Think about that for just a moment. All generations. Which leads me to say this morning that the insecurities of the time will never weaken the security of truth. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Ponder that this morning. I've never lived in a time, and I'm pushing towards the 70 as I preach this morning. I've never lived in a time that I've witnessed out of these two eyes of mine a world any more insecure. I've never seen a time that the threats were as imminent as you and I are facing every single day. It is a constant thing every single day. Another police officer gets killed. Another homicide takes place. The ISIS threat increases with time. We have not, it seems like culture, society, the world is a ticking time bomb. We look at North Korea, we wonder what they're going to do. We look at Iran and we wonder what it's going to do. And then we simply pat them on the back and make some kind of a treaty. And it goes on and on. We live in a state of insecurity. But I'm glad that I can stand here this morning as a preacher of the gospel. And I can look you folks in the face and I can tell you this. Regardless of the insecurities of the time, that will not take away of the securities of truth. We still have God. We still have truth. As long as there is God, there will be truth. And as long as there's God and truth, there will be security. This world will never be taken over by what we think will take it over. Because, listen to me, guess what? The one that spoke it in existence is still in charge of it. The one that orders it and rules it is the same one above it and is taking care of it. We will never see a time that the insecurities of man will ever be greater than the securities of God. It'll never happen. I say this morning, the greatest threat of any human being is not the threat of ISIS, but it's the threat of your sin against your soul if you die unsaved. That's your greatest threat. Don't fear the person that can do nothing but simply destroy the body. We better fear the one today that's in charge of the soul. I personally this morning, after having been saved now many years and read the Bible and studied it, and even with my feeble knowledge, I think I know it a little better than I did 40 years ago. I've come to believe this. I'd rather live 10 years of physical life upon this earth and die with my life being in the hands of God and my home in glory than to live 90 years of age upon this earth and die as an unsaved heathen and face God totally unprepared. My friend, this morning we need to grapple over the issues of life. Life is too short. Eternity is too long. It's not worth it to sell our soul on an altar of time and ignore the existence of eternity. Verse 1 again, and I'm about done here. Verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. All, the word all. Here's what I want to say. Since God is eternal, His people will never be homeless. Since He's eternal. We may lose our material possessions, but thank God never our dwelling place. Never. We're not orphans. We're adopted children. And there's a difference. Somebody said, life with Christ is an endless hope, but life without Christ is a hopeless end. You'd be wise today to grapple, ponder, think on the issues of life. We're not here simply to occupy space, to simply be here and for a few years and then pass out into existence when we die. When we die, that's not the end of our existence. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, if you're saved. Absent from the body, present in torment, if you're lost. Luke 16, rich man lifted up his eyes in torment, didn't he? But Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. We can say today this, based upon the Bible, which I tend to believe far more than what man says, because it's the truth. If you're saved, you go to heaven when you die. If you're lost and die in that condition, you go to hell. I'd be your enemy if I didn't tell you the truth. The truth is, you can be saved today. Give some thought, ponder where you're going. Think about life. Don't let it pass by you. Live it carefully. Live it with sobriety. It's not just fun and games. Are you prepared to meet God this morning? Have you made it right with your Maker? Have you come to the cross as a trembling sinner and placed your trust where God placed your sins in the finished work of Christ and let that old account get settled for you? Are you saved today? If not, you're at the right place at the right time. This may be your last opportunity, but today ponder the issues of life. Let's heads bowed, eyes are closed.